I, too, would like to thank the elders for the opportunity to be up here and speak to you tonight. I'd like to talk for a short while tonight about accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. We hear this a lot from some of the denominational churches. What they're telling us to do is good. We do need to accept Jesus as our Savior. But the way that they tell us to do it is wrong. They ignore a lot of the commands that God has given us. We need to be careful that we accept Jesus in the way that God has told us to do it, not in the way that these false teachers have told us. If we look in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there's a warning there. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Some of the arguments that these false teachers present may sound very convincing, but they're different from what God wants. How can we tell the difference? How do we know which ways are man's ways and which ways are God's ways? Well, God has given us the answer in His Word. We look to His Word, we study it, we read it, and we can find out what it is that we need to do. First question we might ask tonight is, do we need a Savior? During this life, we prepare ourselves for eternity by the things that we do. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, tells us that there will be a judgment day when we will stand before God and give an account of what we have done in our lives. Looking at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, it says, "For you must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Those who have been good will receive one judgment, a judgment of reward. Those who have been bad will receive a different judgment, a judgment of punishment. Jesus himself described the judgment day in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 32. It says there, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Then skipping down to verse 41, it says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." On that judgment day, we will be given the just rewards for our deeds. To the good will be given a place in heaven to live forever with God. To the bad will be given a place in hell to live in the everlasting fire. What will this judgment be based on? How do we know what is good and what is bad? Well, Jesus told us in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." God, through Jesus and through the inspired writers, has given us his word, which tells us everything we need to know to lead a sinless life and be pleasing to him. If you've lived your entire life and have never sinned, then you don't need a Savior. You've never done anything to displease God, and you'll have that home in heaven. But if you've sinned, you will receive a punishment that has no end. So have you lived a sinless life? Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It's just a fact of human nature that at some time or another we're going to be weak, we're going to give in to temptation. When faced with any one temptation, we have the ability to resist the devil and to overcome that temptation. But over the course of a lifetime, we'll not be successful every time. There will be times when we're weak and we lose that battle with Satan. And what does that do for us? Psalms 34 and verse 16 says, "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." As long as we are sinless, we are pleasing to God. But once we sin, we are no longer pleasing to Him. Our sins separate us from Him. We forfeit our chance of spending an eternity with Him. Because He is perfect and we are imperfect, there is nothing we can do by ourselves to restore that right relationship with God. We need someone pure enough and holy enough to cover the wrongs that we have done. We need a Savior to deliver us. In Romans 6 and verse 23, it says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The result of our sins is death. We separate ourselves from God, and that separation will last throughout all time. But God has given us a Savior to rescue us from our sins, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. John tells us that God sent his own Son to be our Savior. In 1 John 4 and verse 14 it says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And Peter, as he spoke before the rulers and elders of Israel, spoke these words in Acts 4 and verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is only one way to be saved, and that is through our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see that we do need a Savior. We see that Jesus is our Savior. Now, what must we do to accept him as our Savior? In Romans 10 and verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that sounds very simple. And in a denominational church, they may tell you that that's all that you need to do. Just call on the Lord. Accept him. Accept him in your heart. And that's it. You'll be saved. Should we believe them? Is that what the Bible tells us? Let's continue reading in Romans, the next verse, in verse 14. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And this is summed up in verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You wouldn't call on Jesus to save you if you'd never heard of him. So the first step to being saved is to study the word of God, to learn about Jesus, to see that the reason he came to this earth was to offer himself up as a sacrifice for our sins, to see that he came to be our Savior. Once you study these things, you have to believe them as well. You wouldn't call on Jesus to save you if you did not believe that he had the power to save you. Why would you bother? You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, believe that he does have that power to save you, and believe that he came to this world to be our Savior. Some of the denominational churches may agree with everything that I've said up to this point. You need to hear the word of God and believe in Jesus before you would accept him as your Savior. But that's where a lot of them end it. But we can't end it there, because God doesn't end it there. In Hebrews 5 and verse 9 it says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Again, this shows that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one who paid the price for our sins and made eternal salvation possible. But notice that while salvation is available to everyone, it will not be given to everyone. It will only be given to a certain class of people, to those people that obey him. Jesus himself said that calling on him was not enough. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father that is in heaven." Calling on Jesus will not get you into heaven by itself. Doing what God has commanded is the only way that you may be saved. We must study the word of God to see what it is that has been commanded of us. And what happens if we don't obey? In 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." If we don't obey God, we'll pay the penalty of eternal punishment away from the presence of God. So where do we find a list of these commandments? They're not all given in one place. It takes a careful study of God's word to learn what we need to do to be saved. When Paul preached to the people of Athens on Mars Hill in Acts 17 and verse 30, he said, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." This is plain and simple. God has commanded us to repent of our sins. Not just being ashamed because we've been caught doing something wrong, but truly sorry because we know that our sins are displeasing to God. If we obey the command to believe but ignore the command to repent, then we're not being obedient. We don't get to pick which commandments that we want to obey. We have to obey all of them. When Peter preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, the people asked him, "What shall we do?" In Acts 2 and 38, it says, "Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Again, we are told that we must repent of our sins. And now we're told that we must be baptized as well. Many false teachers would tell you that baptism is not necessary for salvation. This passage and many others would tell us that it is necessary. If we don't do as God has commanded us to do, we'll be eternally lost. We're also told that we must openly declare our faith in Jesus. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Again, this is not optional. If we want to be saved, we have to confess our faith in Jesus. Jesus has told us that to be saved, we must obey the commandments of God. Not just a few commandments that we're comfortable with, we must obey all that God has commanded. If we accept Jesus, then we will be saved. But we have to do it by obeying all that God has commanded. John 14 and verse 15, here Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." In Luke 6 and 46, Jesus said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" If we want to accept Jesus, then we can't do it the way that the false teachers tell us to do it. We have to be ready to make a commitment to do all of those things that God has commanded us to do. Are you ready to accept Jesus as your Savior? There's no better time than right now. The only way to accept Him is by keeping those things that He has commanded. We've shown you that you need to hear the Word of God, and you've done that tonight. The lessons that you've heard come right from God's Word. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for us in order to save us. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess your faith in Jesus, and you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've already accepted Jesus, but you've fallen away, you need to pray to God that He will forgive you. We're ready here to help you. If we can assist you in any way, please come forward and let it be known while we stand and while we sing.